message, 821, all the way in the very back, they are on the index. 821. And after the last verse, we will repeat the chorus.
Is a place of everlasting joy and peace, where the stream of life is flowing there forever. And a crown of life is waiting there for me. That sounds like home. The saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me. They say there's many mansions in that city, a crystal river flows by the tree of life, and no pain, no disappointment us. And Jesus Christ Himself will be the light. And that sounds like home to me, right where we sing of His grace and glory, and the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me. The hills will echo with the story as we sing of His grace and glory, and the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me.
That makes you want to get there. Amen. Remember that old song, going to heaven, can't wait. Going to see Jesus, can't wait. Amen. Pray for the Lord to return soon. Amen. That would be nice, wouldn't it? I want to go, but I want to go up. Amen. I want to go by the undertaker. Amen. I don't want to see the undertaker. Well, not that I'm going to see him. Amen. But nonetheless, would you turn to the book of Ruth, please? Ruth chapter number 2 this morning. Good singing. I love the singing in this church. Amen. Somebody said, if that doesn't fire you up, your wood is wet. Amen. Can I get a witness on that one? That's the truth, isn't it? I did a search. I did a study a couple years ago as I read through the Bible. Phrases, you know, jump out. And by the way, if something don't jump out, you need to jump in. Amen. Isn't that the truth? Well, songs, they're made. A lot of songs we have come from Bible phrases. And one of the phrases that hit me a couple years ago that I just wanted to do a little search through the scriptures was the phrase, under his wings. Under his wings. In fact, the song, the main the chorus of the song says, under his wings, under his wings. Who from his love can sever? Under his wings my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. And as I noted the statement under his wings and went through a little study of it, so many songs were developed from so many different texts. And I love songs that are Bible-based, obviously, and actually come from the Bible. Amen. We have to sing with understanding, right? And we just don't sing things because they sound good. We sing things because they sound good, but because they are good. Truth, amen. And that's the wonderful thing about great hymns, amen, which I thank the Lord that you have so many of them. I mean, you know, the ones that weren't in the hymn book, you put in another book, amen, which I do have one thanks to somebody who gave me one. I won't tell any on him so we don't get in trouble, amen. I'm teasing. I want you to look with me if you would. I want to look at the phrase throughout the Bible, just a few spots, if you will, under his wings. Now, when I think of this phrase under his wings, what to me that speaks of is being close to God. Under his wings is a reference to being close to God. Amen. And as I look through the different scriptures that refer to this, I want you to note I do have five different points that I want to try to note, if you will. And I try to develop these thoughts in logical or chronological order for us. And I think that would take us first to the book of Ruth, chapter number 2. Ruth's a wonderful book. Amen. It's a great little book, 4 chapters, but just not only is it a great story, there's some great allegory in the book. Amen. Just looking at the kinsman redeemer and Boaz and looking at the church and Ruth, if you will, just some wonderful, wonderful things. But I want you to note, if you will, this statement. I'm going to give you the point and then we'll read the verse. When we think of the thought under his wings, number one, under his wings is the place of salvation. You're talking about being close to God. You know, before you can get close, before you can be close to God, you got to get close to God. Amen. And by the way, everybody's born away from God. And you are the only one that can decide to get close to God. Amen. In fact, there are some religious organizations that believe the parents can decide whether their child's going to be close to God or not, whether they want to have them christened or you know what I'm talking about? Listen, when you when religious organizations tell you, yeah, have your child christened, baptized or whatever, because that's going to be the beginning of their salvation, that's not the truth. Amen. A person has to come to the age of accountability, age of reasoning, amen, before they can decide that they want to come to the Lord and be saved, amen. And as we sung in the hymns this morning, he will in no wise cast out anybody who comes to me, comes to him, amen. In fact, the call is in Matthew chapter number 11, verses 28, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest, amen. Take my yoke upon you, and my burden is easy. My yoke is light. My burden is easy. But the fact of the matter is Jesus Christ calls people to himself to come and be saved. And we have a wonderful illustration of that in the book of Ruth. Boaz, who's a wonderful picture of Christ, the kinsman redeemer, and Ruth the Gentile is a picture of the church, which is primarily Gentile. Amen. How she unites with him is a wonderful picture of salvation, isn't it? I want you to look with me. Ruth chapter number 2 and verse number, actually,
Yes, look at verse number 12. I want you to look at Ruth chapter number 2. And by the way, I hate to try to get into the whole story. I don't doubt that many of you are familiar with this book, but we have Naomi who and her husband went away from the Israel because of a famine, and she wind up, her two sons wind up marrying two Moabite women, and out there where they were at, she lost her husband and her two sons and and she came back to Israel, if you will, but one of her daughter-in-laws didn't come, and the other one, Ruth, did come. And what we're at here in chapter number 2, when Ruth follows Naomi back to the promised land, back to Israel, they were poor, they were widows, and they didn't have anything. And thank God for the opportunity they had to glean, or at least Ruth had to glean in somebody's field. Thank God for that law that God had set up to not to take, not that the reapers to take everything, but to leave a little something for the poor that they can glean something. Amen. And so Ruth happens upon, if you will, seemingly by chance upon the field of Boaz. But by the way, there's the providence of God right there. Amen. And Ruth is in that field, and she's gathering some grain and such for her and her mother-in-law. And Boaz takes note of her, and so on. And what we find, look at verse number 12 of chapter number 2. Ruth chapter 2, verse number 12. Now here's what Boaz said to Ruth as he was speaking to her. Verse number 12, "The Lord recompense thy work." See, Boaz knew that Ruth was dedicated to her mother-in-law, Naomi, and that she was out there working in that field for her and her mother-in-law to take care of her. Now there's a great example of a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law uniting together, if you will. "The Lord recompense thy work," Boaz said, "and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel." Get the next statement. "Under whose wings thou art come to," what? Trust. Under his wings is the place of salvation. And we can see that in the picture of this Gentile who had foreign gods, but who came to trust the God of Israel, the God of heaven, the God of the Bible. Amen? The God that you and I know. In fact, I want you to note, if you would, chapter number 1. Look at verse number 15 to 16. By the way, you'll sometimes hear this quoted in marriage vows, which it's technically a vow to of Ruth to her mother-in-law, but it's a great vow of commitment, if you will. Look at Ruth chapter 1, verse number 15. "And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law," by the way, this is Naomi speaking, if you will, "behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back," and that would be Orpah. Remember, Naomi said to Orpah and to Ruth, you know, "Please go back, go back." And then Orpah went back, but she said, "Behold, thy sister has gone back unto her people and to what? Her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And so Naomi's telling Ruth, "Ruth, you just go back to your people. You go back to your gods." But I think verse number 16 is not only a commitment of Ruth to Naomi, but it's a commitment to Ruth to Naomi's God as well. Look at verse number 16. "And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people." And to get the last statement, "thy God shall be my God." Amen. Ruth made the God of Israel, the God of heaven, the God of the word of God. Amen. She made God her God. That's salvation right there. Amen. Verse number 16, verse number 16. "And Ruth said," I'm sorry, rest of it, verse number 17. "Where thou diest, I will die, and where I will be buried, the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." So Ruth committed herself to the God of heaven. She came under his wings and trusted him as her God, as her savior, if you will. Amen. And thank God she did, because she became a part of that great genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Under his wings is the place of salvation. People have to come to him and trust him, Jesus Christ, to be their personal savior. Amen. If you would read chapter number 3, which obviously we can't do that, In chapter number 3, Naomi speaks to Ruth, and Ruth says, listen, I've been working in a field of a man named Boaz. And Ruth says to, or Naomi says to Ruth, Boaz, he's a near kinsman. He's somebody that actually could marry you. And here's what happened. Naomi gave Ruth instructions. Naomi said to Ruth, clean up, dress up. And at a certain time at night when he's had already eaten and drunk, you don't want to get him before he had his dinner. He'll be miserable. Can I get a witness on that one? He'll be hangry. Amen. And say, at a certain time, here's what I want you to do, Ruth. I want you to go up there and I want you to lay down at his feet. And you know what that was a picture of? It was a picture of her implying that she would like him to marry her, that she would be committed to him. And it's basically her asking him to take me to be your wife. Amen. And I'll tell you what, that's a great picture right there. Not only under the wings, but at the feet of the Lord. See, Boaz, the picture of Jesus Christ. And when we come to salvation, we in essence lay ourselves at his feet. It's submission to the Lord. Amen. It's a wonderful, wonderful picture. Under his wings, number one, is the place of salvation. It's coming to trust the Lord as your personal Savior. And the message over and over again in the Word of God, in the New Testament especially, Jesus was to come unto me. Ye who are thirsty, come. I am the water of life. I have the water of life. Amen. Number one. Under his wings is the place of salvation. But I want you to note this, and I don't doubt that most of us are saved, thank God. But let me give you the second thought. Would you turn with me for a moment, please, to the book of Psalms, chapter number 17? Psalms, chapter number 17. We're going to shed the coat for a minute here. Psalms, chapter number 17. Closeness to God. We get there by getting saved. Amen. I like what Ephesians 2 says. Ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Amen. Psalms chapter number 17. Listen, under his wings, number one, is the place of salvation. Number two, under his wings is the place of protection. You and I that are already saved, thank God, we are saved and we're safe and we're saved forever. We can't lose it. Amen. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Amen. But you and I that are saved, we need to make sure we stay close to the Lord. Amen. Because it's very easy to get away from the Lord and to get far from the Lord. In fact, sometimes you can drift away from the Lord without even realizing it. Amen. Has anybody, I think I was speaking to somebody last time I was here. Has anybody ever gone deep sea fishing? In a little boat. I remember going out there in a boat one time. By the way, I forgot to put sunblock on. That was a nightmare. But nonetheless, we were out there and we're fishing and we're in just a little boat. And it's a little choppy and everything. But I'll tell you what happened was I didn't realize it. But once you lose sight of land, you lose sight of where you're at. And I could not realize when we were headed to go back in, we were further away than when we had first come out. Because what happens is as you're in that boat and you're fishing, believe it or not, you're drifting. But the fact is you have no mooring. You have no fixed point of reference to look back and say, okay, I could still see we're exactly where we were. And I'll be honest with you, many times as Christians, there are times that we find ourselves drifting without even realizing we're drifting in a certain direction. Amen. In fact, that's why we got to aggressively make sure we stay on the straight and narrow. Amen. Remove not your foot to the right or to the left. Amen. Under his wings is the place of protection. We need to stick close to the Lord. Look with me, please, in Psalm 17, verse number 8 and 9. By the way, this is a great psalm where David was, they believe he was running from Saul. By the way, David was always running from somebody, wasn't he? Amen. But he was running from Saul. And by the way, most of the references to under his wings we find in the Psalms. But here it is, a place of protection. In Psalm 17, look at verse number 8 and 9. David said this, I have set the Lord. Oh, that's chapter 16. That's a great verse, but I can't get into it. Chapter number 17, verse number 8. Keep me, David says, as the apple of thine eye. And they believe the apple of the eye is the very sensitive part of your eye, which you and I instinctively protect. David's saying, Lord, keep me as the apple of thine eye. Get the next statement. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings, from the wicked that oppress me and from my deadly enemies who compass me about. David knew that he needed, at a time when somebody was aggressively hunting him down, he needed to be close to God. He needed God's protection. The eagle protects its eaglet, if you will. Amen. And he needed to be close, if you will. Look at Psalm 51, if you will. I'm sorry, Psalm 57. Psalm 57. Under his wings is the place of salvation. It's the place where we come to trust the Lord as our personal Savior. But under his wings is where we need to stick. We need to stick close to the Lord for our own protection, amen, and for our own safety. Look at Psalm 57, if you would, please. And verse number 1. And again, this is a psalm, they believe, that he's running from Saul. By the way, most of the times you read the references of under his wings, it's always a dangerous situation. It's always a dangerous situation in which the writer is saying, I just need to be and want to be close to the Lord at this time. Psalm 57, verse number 1, here's what David said. In fact, the reference on the top says it's when David fled from Saul and he was hiding in a cave, if you will. Verse number 1, be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. You and I need to try to get a grip and a grasp of how David felt. He's running for his life. Saul is trying to kill him. He's hiding, but he's praying for God to protect him and to keep him close. Amen. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, this verse right here, the last statement, until these calamities be overpassed, it sounds like the beginning of a song, till the storm passes over. Amen. How many people recall that? In fact, you have that in your little booklet here. I looked in the big booklet, but it wasn't in there. And I think it's number 87. In the dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face while the storm howls above me and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Amen. And I believe that's exactly what David was saying. I'm going through a storm. I'm going through a situation. Dear Lord, please, I want to just remain under the shadow of your wings. I want to stay within your care and your protection. Amen. Would you look with me, please, at chapter number 61. Psalms chapter number 61. Under his wings. Amen. It's the place of salvation, but it's also the place of protection. Oh, how we need to stay close to the Lord. Amen. Through every difficulty and every situation we go through, we need to stick close to the Lord. Psalm 61. And by the way, many believe Psalm 61 was written at a time when David was already the king, but he was driven from the throne by Absalom. You remember Absalom's rebellion against King David, how King David was driven from the throne and driven from Jerusalem, and he was driven even from the promised land. They believe he was kind of on the edge of the promised land, just outside the promised land, which they often referred to as the earth. And David at this time is going through a difficult situation and a difficult time. And let's begin in verse number 1 and just read this prayer, if you will. Verse number 1 of Psalm 61, he said, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. Verse number 2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I am. By the way, there's another song right there. You understand? See how many songs? By the way, the book of Psalms is the songbook of Israel. Amen. David is driven from the throne by his rebellious son, and he's out there, but he's pleading for God to protect him and to keep them. And when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And we know that rock is the Lord. Amen. Lead me, O rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Amen. Look at verse number, where are we at? Verse number 3. David said, for thou hast been, that's a wonderful thing. When you're crying out to God at a particular time, but you remember what God has already done for you in the past, amen? For thou hast been, verse number 3, a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Verse number 4, the key verse, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. David used often the eagle's care over his young as an example of God's care over his people. No matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance, no matter who the enemy, be it Saul, be it Absalom, be it Ahithophel, no matter what the situation, God can protect and keep us. Oh, that we might come in the shadow of his wings and stay there. Amen. I want you to turn to Psalm. By the way, as you notice, often the term shadow of the wings is a reference, right? Would you turn with me for a moment, please, to Psalm 91? Psalm 91. This verse doesn't necessarily use the term wings, but it definitely uses the term shadow, and it is about being close to the Lord. Amen? You see, under his wings is not only the place of salvation. It's not the initial place we come and trust the Lord. It's the place where we stay for his protection and for his care. Amen? There are some people that get away from his presence. And you know what I mean by that? We can't run from the presence of the Lord, but sometimes we get away from the Lord. Amen? And we find ourselves in a place where we're vulnerable to the enemy's attacks. Amen? And we need to stick close to the Lord. Look with me, if you would, Psalm 91. Look at verse number 1, if you would, please. He, by the way, this is that starts out. It's a wonderful, this is a personal chapter for an individual. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, get this, shall abide under the what? Shadow of the Almighty. The person who gets close to the Lord and sticks close to the Lord will be there within the shadow. You know, to get into somebody's shadow, you got to get pretty close. Amen. This chapter, this whole chapter, is a chapter that really focuses on the benefits and the blessings of being close to God and staying close to God. Amen. It talks about a special peace. It talks about a special power. It talks about a special protection. It talks about a special deliverance and so on. It's a wonderful, wonderful chapter. In fact, look at verse number 2 of the chapter. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. Look at verse number 3. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Verse number 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Oh, there you go. There you got the wings right there. And under his what? Wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Look at verse number 5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. There's a comfort in closeness. Amen. The lack of fear is there. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Verse number 7. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Why? Verse number 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now I understand this word was primarily in its context written to a people, I believe, who were in the wilderness. But I believe by way of application that when you and I get close to the Lord, I think we're more safe than when we're away from the Lord. Amen? Oh, that we might be close. In fact, let me just say this. In Psalm 70, we're in the Psalms. We might as well go there. Look at Psalm 73 for a moment, please. You see, under his wings, within his shadow, close to the Lord, is the place to be protected. How many people like to watch the animal shows on TV? My wife's been recently watching sometimes the ones on, it's called Hunt or Animal Hunt or something like that. I mean, you could see the animals going after other animals and the prey. So let me tell you what I often seen. When the lions or the tigers or these others go after, there's a big group, a big herd of whatever they are, but usually it's the straggler that they get. It's usually the straggler that they get, amen? And I'll tell you what happens. When we unite, in fact, we were talking about unity. When we unite and we stick close together, there's a better safety within that. But sometimes the devil gets somebody away from the fold and away from the Lord and away from the things of the Lord, and they become the vulnerable ones. Amen? And that's why we got to be careful, because we know the devil's seeking whom he may devour. You remember in Job chapter number 1 and 2, where the angels came before God and Satan also came, and the Lord said, where you been? He said, I've been walking up and down, and I've been walking to and fro. We know what he was doing. Amen. In fact, he was scoping out Job, but he couldn't get to him because Job had a hedge about him. Job lived right. Job didn't break through the hedge. Amen. In order to get himself bit. Look at Psalm 73. And by the way, listen, the devil's always trying to lure somebody away from the group, always trying to lure somebody away from the Lord, because if he can get you away from him, he can get you. Amen. And what we have in Psalm 73, this is a psalm written by Asaph. Asaph was the son of a choir director. He was a choir director himself. He obviously was serving the Lord, but he was also being tempted in his heart to go away from the Lord. In fact, he says, look at verse number 1, the truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Look at verse number 2. But as for me, my feet were almost what? Gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. See, he's serving the Lord, but he's looking at the worldly, if you will. And he says, listen, in my heart, something was going on. I was being tempted. The devil was using what I was seeing to do something in me. He said, I was almost gone. Why? Look at verse 3. I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Amen. He said, there's no bands in their death, their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men are. Those, so on, so on. And he gives testimony. Asaph says, listen, I'm serving the Lord. I'm doing the things God wants me to do. But on the inside, something was going on. By the way, something's always going on the inside of every one of us. You know what we do? We label people backslidden. By the way, you know, you've heard that word, right? You know what backslidden is? Anybody? Backslidden means you get away from the Lord. Amen? In fact, I was there at one time. I got saved as a young man. I got away from the Lord as a teenager. Got myself in a lot of trouble, but I got back to the Lord because of the trouble. Amen? But the fact of the matter is, what we do sometimes is when somebody gets away from the Lord, we label them backslidden after they leave. After they gotten away from the Lord. But do you know you can backslide in the church pew? And in this case, in the chair, amen? In your heart. Listen, you can be here this morning and in your heart something's going on, but not what's going on around you. You know what Paul told to Timothy? Give attendance to reading. You know you got to show up. You got to show up on the inside as well as the outside, amen? And there are some people that go to church, they go to church, they sit there, but inside, nothing is going on that the Lord is trying to get going on. I mean, some people can sit there thinking about the game that's going to go on tonight, or what's going for dinner, and oh, how I got to clean this, and what I got to go, where I got to go tomorrow, what I got to do. There's so much that's been going on, amen? The Lord Jesus and the Spirit of God want to work in our hearts, amen? And you can serve the Lord. Things can be going on outwardly, but not the right things going on inwardly. Amen. And that's what happened with Asaph. He's telling us what was going on inside. He's being tempted. He's almost gone, even while he's doing the things he was doing. Look at verse 17, because this is where things change. Look at verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. See, Asaph was looking and lusting after the wicked until in the house of God, the word of God opened his eyes up to where they're really going and what their life is really going to be. And that woke him up. I want you to look at verse number 27 and 28. Asaph decides not to follow his heart. That's a good thing, isn't it? Because a fool trusts in his heart. Amen. His heart was saying, you know, go out there and go live it up. Man, what are you doing giving it up? Go live it up. Amen. And he was tempted. But God got a hold of his heart. By the way, in the heart is where it's all happening. In the heart is where the devil's working. What did the devil do with Judas? He ended in his heart. He put it into his heart. What did he do with Ananias and Sapphira? He put in their hearts to lie. Amen. The devil and God are both working on the heart. Why? Because that's it. Amen. Whoever's got your heart got you. And Asaph, he's serving the Lord physically, outwardly, but in his heart, he's away from the Lord. Jesus said to the people, you know, you honor me with your mouth and with your lips, but your heart is what? Far from me. Amen? And that's where Asaph was until God got a hold of his heart. And when he did, Asaph settled it. And here's what he says. Look at chapter 73. Look at verse 27 and 28. He said, for lo, they that are far from thee shall what? Perish. You know what Asaph said? You know what? He said, I'm tempted to go in their direction, but God opened my eyes to see their end. I don't want to end up where they're going to end up. Amen? It might look like it's fun where they're going. It might look like they're having a good time where they're going. But man, I can see the end of where they're going. They're headed for heartache. They're headed for a messed up family, messed up marriage. Amen. God opened his eyes and he said, you know what? I'm not going to follow them because that's not a good place to go. Watch. Look at verse 27. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go what? A whoring from thee. That term, a whoring from thee, is often used in reference to leaving the God of Israel, the God of heaven, to go after false gods. It's spiritual adultery and being adulterous, spiritually speaking. Amen? And he said, man, to forsake the Lord and to run after other things, he said it only ends up in bad places. But look at verse number 28. I want you to get this. But it is what? Good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord that I may declare all thy works. Listen, we may be tempted to get away and to go astray, but may we understand it ain't worth it. Amen. And may we decide to say, no, it's good to get close to the Lord. Amen. Number one, under his wings is the place of salvation. Number two, under his wings is the place of protection. But let me give you another thing. Number three, if you jot this down or if you get it in your mind, turn to Psalm 36, if you would, please. Psalm 36. Being close to the Lord begins at salvation. Being close to the Lord will definitely give us the protection that we want to have. You know, when you're close to the Lord, it doesn't mean nothing's going to happen. It just means when it happens, it's not happening because you got away from the Lord. Do you know there's troubles that come to us because we go to that? Amen. You know, it's one thing to stick close to the Lord like Job and to go through whatever. Because at least you know, I'm not going through it because I got away. I'm sticking close to the Lord. Amen. But then there are some things we get away from the Lord, we get ourselves into, and we get into trouble. And we say, you know what? If I wouldn't have got away from the Lord, I wouldn't have got into this. Amen. We're already going through enough troubles naturally. We don't need to add to it. Amen. Look with me, if you would, please. Psalm 36. I want you to know under his wings is not only the place of salvation and it's not only the place of protection, but it's also the place of satisfaction. Being close to the Lord under his wings is the place of satisfaction. Look with me, chapter 36, verse number 7. Psalm 36 and verse number 7, if you would. Let's read 7 to 9. How excellent. And by the way, let me say this too. David, again, in this situation, was battling enemies. Again, another struggle. But in spite of all the struggle he was going through, in the midst of all of that, he could find satisfaction in being close to the Lord. Amen? Look at verse number 7, if you would, please. Psalm 36, 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Why is it that we trust the Lord? I tell you why. Because he loves us. That's what this psalmist is saying. Your love is so excellent. Your love is so good. Your love is so true. We can trust it. We don't trust everybody. We don't tell everybody what we're going through. We don't tell everybody how we really feel. I'll tell you why one of the reasons we don't is because we have no idea if that person really loves us or not. Do you know who we open up to the most? The people we believe love us the most. Casting all your care upon him. Why? For he cares for you. Amen? And David's going through the situations he's going through, but he's saying your love is my trust. Amen? Look at verse number 8, Psalm 36, verse number 8. They, by the way, the word they reflects back to those who trust the Lord and are under the shadow of his, or under his wings, right? They shall be what? Abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. See, there's a satisfaction in being close to the Lord and trusting him. Look at verse number 9. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Amen. Why is it that we can be satisfied being close to the Lord? Because he is the river of life. Amen. In fact, let me throw this out for you. You remember in Jeremiah chapter 2, God through Jeremiah was rebuking the nation. And in verse number 13 of Jeremiah 2, he says, my people have committed two evils. One, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. And they have hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Amen. The children of Israel had gotten away from the source of true satisfaction, and they went to the world or to other gods that could not satisfy. Amen. And how many times, I'll tell you what, how many times do Christians get away from the source of living water, if you will, and satisfaction to go into this world only to come up? And I hate to use the word high and dry, because to me that sounds good when you're Noah. Can I get a witness on that one? That might register by tonight. We use the term high and dry as something bad. Is that correct? But when it comes to Noah, high and dry is wonderful, amen, because you made it through the flood. But nonetheless, the fact of the matter is, listen, the well of the world will always leave you dry. Ain't that the truth? I recall, John 4. You remember the woman at the well? You remember how this woman went there, and she probably went at a certain time of day where she couldn't gather with the other ladies because of her reputation. And so it was a little more burdensome for her maybe to go in the heat of the day. And you remember she's going to get water, and Jesus met her at the well. In fact, he met her on purpose. Amen. He told the disciples, I must needs go through Samaria. He knew he had an appointment with this woman who was trying to get everything she could, satisfaction actually from relationships. She actually had, six husbands, or five husbands, and she was shacking up with a man. Is that correct? If my numbers are correct. So there were six individual relationships that this woman had, if you will. And you know, there are many people that try to satisfy their heart's desire, if you will, with so many things. This woman was going to get water out of that well, and the Lord said, listen, I got water that if you drink, you'll never thirst again. Now, obviously, he wasn't talking about physical water that's going to be magical and take away your thirst, amen? He was talking about this woman was thirsty, and he's using the situation. She's coming to the well of the world, if you will, and that is not going to quench her thirst. But he had salvation for her that could satisfy her thirst, amen? In fact, if you think about it, she had six relationships, obviously, that could never satisfy her heart's desire. But then she met the seventh man, and that's Jesus Christ. You know, seven's the number of perfection. She met the perfect man. She had the perfect relationship from that point, and that is satisfying. Amen? He is satisfying. I want you to turn with me, please, to Psalm 63. Under his wings is a place of satisfaction. It's a place of salvation. It's a place of protection. It's a place of satisfaction. You and I, as we stick close to the Lord and walk with the Lord, we will be satisfied, obviously not perfectly in this life. Amen. We'll not be perfectly satisfied till we get there. Amen. But we'll be a lot more satisfied than the world can make us. Amen. I mean, we're living in a day and an age where people are not satisfied with anything. Amen. Ain't that the truth? Look at Psalm 63, please. Look at verse number 7 and 8. And by the way, in Psalm 63, it is believed that this was a time that David wrote this when he was driven from the throne by Absalom. And look at Psalm 63 and look at verse number 7 and 8. The Bible says this, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I what? Rejoice. Amen. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand holdeth me up. Amen. And that's a wonderful, wonderful truth that we can get close to the Lord. And that's a place of joy. And it's also a place where we know the Lord is going to hold us up. I like Psalms 37, 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. Amen. How about Isaiah 41:10? Fear not, be not dismayed. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Amen. Listen, under his wings is the place of salvation. It's the place of protection. It's the place of satisfaction. And let me give you another one. Turn with me to the book of Malachi, please. Malachi chapter number 4. Malachi chapter number 4. Under his wings. Sounds like the place to be, amen? We come there initially to be saved. We stay there to be safe, amen, and satisfied. And I'll be honest with you, some people get away from the Lord. I did it as a kid. And I'll be honest with you, man, when you get away from the Lord, you just put yourself in the devil's playground. And being on the devil's playground is not a nice place to be, amen? Getting away from the Lord, I got myself into a lot of trouble. Has anybody ever been there, or am I the only bad guy here? Thank you. And I feel comforted, amen. See, misery loves company. So, I got away from the Lord, and I'll tell you what the world will do, the devil will do, chew you up and spit you out. But I'm so glad that God still pick you up and do something with you. I don't know if you sing that song, "You Did Not Throw the Clay Away." You sing that, I love that one. Empty and broken, I came back to him. Amen? But thank God he didn't throw the clay away over and over. Amen? And let me tell you something. There are times, you know, we come under his wings and we get saved and we stay under there and we're safe. And, you know, we stay in there and we're satisfied. And then the devil just doesn't work and our flesh doesn't work and the world doesn't work. And some of us, not all of us, but some of us, boy, we just get away from his wings. Thank God we don't lose salvation when we get away from it. But I'll tell you, we lose a lot of protection. We lose a lot of peace. And there's a lot of things we lose joy. Amen? Even David said that. Restore to me the joy of that salvation. And there are things we lose. But I want to throw this out there too for you. Look at Malachi chapter number 4. Look at verse number 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Under his wings is the place of restoration. It's the place of restoration. See, healing can be found under his wings. And I think by way of illustration, as a kid, I got away from the Lord. And I'll tell you, a lot of situation, a lot of things, broken big time. But when I came back to the Lord and got back under his wings, I found healing for my own life. Amen. And you know what I'm not talking. I'm not talking about, you know, I had cancer and the Lord touched me and now I don't have it. Like that type of healing. I'm talking about restoration. Restoration in my own life. Amen. Now, let me just say this in the context. This is not about you and I. This is about the nation of Israel. When the Lord comes back the second time, he'll restore that nation together. Amen. And that may be a wonderful, wonderful interpretation that it is. But by way of application, he could still heal with those that come back to him. Amen. Jeremiah 3:22 says, come, you backsliders, and I will heal your backsliding. You remember Jeremiah 18, the wonderful picture, how Jeremiah was told by the Lord, Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house. And I want to give you a word there. And Jeremiah went down to the potter's house and he looked into the potter's house. And the potter had a clay vessel that was marred. It was a crack pot, actually. It was marred in the potter's hand, and all of a sudden he saw him take this and he saw him make it and mold it, and he made it over anew, and he made it like unto the way he wanted it to be. And what God said was, Jeremiah, I want you to know the nation of Israel is cracked up and it's broken and all of this, but let me tell you, like the potter could take that broken vessel and remake it anew, I can do that with the nation of Israel. That was the message. And by way of application, he can take crackpots and he can take broken vessels and he can mold them and make them anew. Amen. And that's what he's done for me, and he can do that for you. But you got to come back under his wings to do that. You know, the prodigal could be healed. Is that correct? The father was at home, and when the son was under his wings and under his shadow, everything was wonderful, grand, and glorious. When he got away, he went down, and he went down, and he went down, and he went down to the point where he realized, man, I've lost it all. Look at me. Those that are at the father's house are eating better. They're living better. But this will I do. I'm going to get back up, and I'm going to go back. I'm going to confess my sin. I'm going to tell him, forgive me. Don't even make me a son. Make me. And you know what happened? He came back, and when he did, he got restored. Get the best robe for the worst son. Get the ring, put it on his finger. Get shoes on his feet. Kill the fatty. That's restoration. The father wouldn't restore him when he was over here away from him. You got to come back under the wings to get restored. Is that correct? I won't go there for the sake of time. James 4:4-10. Speaking to those that have gotten away, loving the world, enemies of God, saved. The whole thing was draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Come back. Amen. That was the whole message. I got to give you one more point and I'm going to quit. Listen, under his wings is the place of salvation. Under his wings is the place of protection. Under his wings is a place of satisfaction. Under his wings is a place of restoration. But let me give you the last thought, number five. Would you turn to one more scripture, please? Matthew chapter number 23. Matthew chapter number 23. Under his wings. Under his wings. Who from his love can sever? Amen. Once you come under his wings at salvation, you could never lose that salvation. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen? Let me give you the last thought, number five. Under his wings is a place of decision. It's a place of decision. I decide to go there initially. I decide to stay there continually. It's my decision, is that correct? It's your decision. Look at Matthew chapter number 23. In reference to Jesus coming to the nation of Israel, to his own people. You remember in John 1, it says he came unto his own and his own received him not. You remember they said, we'll not have this man to reign over us. Matthew 23, look at verse number 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. This is what Jesus says. By the way, anytime you see that, there's a hurt there. The Lord Jesus came, as you well know, to Jerusalem, presented himself as their Savior, their Messiah, their King, and they rejected him. He looks over the city and he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. What's the next statement? And you would not. You see, under his wings is a place of decision. I don't believe in predestination. I don't believe that God predestined some to come under and some not to come under. I believe God calls to all, and whosoever will may come. Amen? Have you ever come under his wings and trust him as your Savior? If not, today's a wonderful day to do that. And those of us that are saved, let's get close and let's stay close. Amen? There's a song I heard before. It goes, child, child, oh, why do you wander? Amen. Why do you wander away from the fold? And the whole thought is there's comfort in closeness. Amen. So get as close as you can. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the precious word this morning. Thank you for the fact that we can come under your wings and be saved. Just like Ruth is a wonderful picture of the church, of us. We hear the truth of the word of God about the God of heaven. And we put our faith and trust in you. And we are saved. But we know as Christians, it's our responsibility to stay close to you, to walk close to you, and to stay within your protection and satisfaction. And I pray that you'll help every one of us this morning. Lord, if there's anybody needs to be saved, may your Spirit do a work in their hearts. May they know if they come to you today that you will save them. And Father, those of us that are saved, though this world may try to pull us away from thee, may we not submit to it in any way, but may we ever stick close to you, that wonderful place of safety. Under your wings is the place to be, no doubt about it. It's the place to be saved and it's the place to be safe. Please work on our hearts as we just take a few moments as we close up this service, Lord. Lead by your Spirit in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.